Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
If you decide to engage in the battle, sooner or later, you're going to take a bullet and you're going to go down and you're going to need some other soldiers around you to haul your butt back across some safe lines and say, are you okay? And you say, no, I'm hit, I'm hurt, I'm down, I don't know if I can go back. Well, then we're going to take care of you and get you back up on your feet, and then we're going back in there together.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Work in Progress. And I love words, I love definitions. One of the phrases used is this: a piece of work that is not yet finished. And that's all we got. Every one of you is a piece of work. All of us are a piece of work. And where this one's coming from today is that I think sometimes, you know, it's just me, I don't know, but you know, people say, well, man, you're just putting the bar too high. You keep reading all these verses about impossible things that probably you can't even keep. That the standard is so high, and you know, the book itself says, be holy as I am holy. That's what God says. Well, how many of you are doing that? I'm not. So easy for me to get up here and tell you, hit the mark, hit the mark, hit the mark. We've missed the mark. All of us have fallen short. And yet preachers get up and Bible studies get, you know, we keep telling people, do the right thing, do the right thing. I'm not even doing the right thing all the time. So if I'm not even doing the right thing, then how can I expect you to do the right thing all the time? You say, well, wait a minute. What do you mean you're not doing the right thing? You should be doing the right thing. You're one of the leaders. The leaders aren't doing the right thing. Read your Bible. You can't find one who did the right thing all the time but Jesus. And so everybody else but Jesus is screwed up and needs help. The dilemma that I think somewhere, and I've been trying to process this, you got this thing, we're all idiots. Nothing's working, it's a mess. And then supposedly somebody tells us about Jesus, which is the most bizarre thing still to me. You got all these religions, all this stuff in the world, just crazy stuff. And then another crazy story comes along about some guy dying on a cross. Well, he was born of a virgin. That's impossible. Supposedly dies on a cross, is buried, raised from the dead. I mean, all this is just preposterous. And if you believe all that, you'll die and go to heaven. That's the nuttiest thing you've ever heard in your life. At least the good person story makes a little more sense. Just be a good person, and if there's a heaven, there's a God, you'll make it and have a nice life. Okay, well, that sounds right. But none of that even works, and all you gotta do is believe in some Jesus dude that was, you know, died, and he's supposedly not dead anymore, and got beamed up to heaven. You know, if you ever stop thinking about what you believe, it's wacky. And the book says it's foolishness to those who are perishing, because you tell them, you go, well, what do you think? I think you're nuts. Or they go, oh my gosh, that's what I've been waiting to hear my whole life. So you believe this crazy story, and supposedly that changes your life. Now here's what happened to me, and maybe it's happened to you. Well, let's just assume you really got it when you got it. You got Jesus, you got the gospel, you became a Christian, and wow, it's amazing. And then you start drifting back to this old life. And everybody around you, if they're not really telling the truth and telling you, look, you're struggling, aren't you? Yeah. Guess what? I'm down the road. I'm still struggling. It's okay. This is a work in progress. It's a process. You're not going to get it all right up front immediately. You're going to walk, fall, walk, fall, walk, fall. You're going to bust your butt. You're going to land on your rear and not be able to get up for a year. It's going to be a disaster. It's just life. It's okay. But if we don't keep it real, who are farther down the road than some people who are behind us, then what they say is they see all these Christian religious church people acting like it's all perfect. And then they go, oh my gosh, I don't know how they're doing it. Because I go out in the real world in my job around men, around women, around temptations, and I'm getting clobbered, but it looks like they don't get clobbered because they never talk about it. And so then we get these young Christians acting like Christians and acting like it's really okay when it's not, and they're dying. And you know what? We're all dying. You say, well, what are you doing that's so messed up? You know, I'm doing the same thing you are, just different categories. You say, no, well, I'm sinning less and less. Well, good for you. Then come alongside somebody who is all messed up and say, look, I've been where you are. It does get easier, it gets better, it gets harder in some ways, but this is a long trip and you are gonna make mistakes, and that is okay. You see, you know, are you saying that it's okay to sin? I'm not saying it's okay to sin, but it is a reality, right? Go to Acts chapter 14. Let me give you some verses at least. You'd think we read something out of the Bible. And before I forget this, let me just throw this in here. If it weren't for screwed up Christians, you wouldn't have half of the New Testament. It's written to crazy people. I mean, stuff like, you can't sleep with your father's wife. That's in the Bible. Do you think there's a lot of like question about whether you should be sleeping with your father's wife? Obviously there was, and that had to be addressed. So if you got something bigger and badder than that, you can't kill people. You just can't do that. You can't go around murdering people. And the reason this stuff is written down, because we're doing this stuff. And I think there's a part of history, even in our country, where people get, oh, they read the Bible and go, well, you know, it talks about sodomy and all these things. Well, nobody's doing that. Hey, welcome to the planet. It's in the Bible because it's reality. There are people living these lives. You say, well, I'm not that kind of person. Yeah, you're a different kind of person. You just got a different sin. But it's all jacked up to God. Acts 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples. Why do they need strengthening? Because they're weak. They got Jesus. They go back to work, go back into the world, go back into the idolatry that surrounded them, and they get punched in the nose, and everybody says, you're nuts for believing that. We're having a big time. You're a loser. Sitting around praying to God and not doing what we're doing anymore. You've left the good times. So he goes back and strengthens the souls of the disciples, exhorting them, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. I don't know where you are in the process. Let me talk first of all to the people who are not Christians. If you're not a Christian, none of what I'm talking about makes any sense. Your life's a mess. You need Jesus, okay? I know it sounds nuts. You need Jesus, not believing that he exists, but having a relationship with him personally. If you already have Jesus, let me tell you, from this second forward, till Jesus comes back to get us and take us home, or you die and hit the finish line, you're gonna have tribulation, trouble. You say, well, I don't like that. You're gonna have to get over it. It's the deal. You got problems coming your way. You have obstacles between you and heaven. And if you intend to follow Jesus, the first thing you hit is a cross, and then you read about anybody in Scripture who kept following him. Horrible things happen to some of them. I'm not wishing that on you, but you better put your seatbelt on and hold on, because it's coming. And if you try to serve God at all, there are going to be challenges. How many of you have been shot at, and this may be a crazy question, literally someone with a gun has shot at you this week in this city. Someone has shot at you with a gun this week in this city. Not a hand. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't people in town who haven't been shot at. How many soldiers do we have in the room that have ever had someone in battle fire a gun aimed at them and shot at them? Raise your hand, please, if you've ever been shot at on a battlefield, because that's a scary deal, I'm sure. Someone is on the other end of a gun aiming it at you, and their intention is to take you out. If you don't want to get shot at, get off the dadgum battlefield. And you say, well, I don't know what you're talking about because I'm not getting shot at. Exactly. If you're not getting shot at and you're in the army of the Lord, then there's a good chance you're a POW. And they'll feed you, entertain you, bring you whatever you had from your previous life. All they say is, you can't get out there and shoot at us anymore. And you say, well, I don't like that. I'm getting back in the battle. You're going to get shot at. And you're going to get hit. And you're going to go down. And you're going to need some people to come around you and say, I'm down. I'm hit. And I have enough conversations with guys that have been in the military and know something about this and watch enough movies about this stuff. And one of the coolest things, and I think, I hope it's global military, but at least about U.S. military, is this whole concept of you don't leave anybody on the battlefield, dead or alive. You don't leave them on the battlefield if you can help it. You pick their dead body up, you put it on your shoulders, and you take it home. And then you say, but I see those movies you see. And sometimes somebody goes down out there on the battlefield and some idiot runs out there to take them back and get them home, and they get shot in the process of going out to get their buddy. And then two of them are down and some more go out there and they get killed trying to save their buddy. And you say, who would do that? People who get it. That's who would do that. Who literally have lost any sense of protecting themselves, saving their own life, and it's about saving somebody else's life or a country or a cause. Now, the sad thing is, if you don't get in the battle, you're already on your butt. If you decide to engage in the battle, I'm promising you, sooner or later, you're going to take a bullet and you're going to go down. And you're going to need some other soldiers around you to haul your butt back across some safe lines and say, are you okay? And you say, no, I'm hit, I'm hurt, I'm down, I don't know if I can go back. Well, then we're going to take care of you and get you back up on your feet, and then we're going back in there together. Well, how long do I have to recover? Let's just see how long it takes. Every once in a while in this church, someone walks through the doors wounded, full of bullets, barely hanging on. And they're not short-term soldiers. These are people that have been in the battle for decades in some cases. And they come in and I say, you know what? Maybe you say the same thing to them. I think you better sit here for a while before you start pulling the trigger again. And let us love on you and take care of you and get you back up on your feet where we can fight together. And that's okay. See, I'd rather you walk in here shot to pieces and let us nurse you back to some health, whether it's to stay here and fight or go somewhere else and fight, instead of you coming in here full of bullets and going, well, I got to act like everything's okay when it's not, and I'll just keep moving. It's okay for it not to be okay. Does everybody understand that? Sooner or later, you're going to have to sit down with somebody or raise your hand in a small group somewhere and say, you know what? I just need to say something. I'm not okay anymore. I took a bullet this week. And my family's going down. I'm going down. I need some people to get around me and pray for me. I need some people just to listen to me or to talk to me or just to sit with me, because I don't know that I'm going to make it. You say, well, they're just not very good Christians. No, we're not very good Christians for not providing that kind of environment if they can't say that in our groups. Frederick Douglass, who was an American abolitionist, lecturer, author, and interesting slave, lived from 1817 to 1895, said this: if there is no struggle, there is no progress. And the fact that he was a slave causes me to take note of what he says. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Some of you know this stuff by heart. And this is just for the sake of people who say, well, you're advocating something else. Romans 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? And here's the dilemma. You say, well, I know someone says they're a Christian and they just continue to live in sin. Just find you a mirror. See, we usually pick out somebody else's sin out there that we don't have a struggle with and say, well, they shouldn't be doing that. And I just want to hold up a mirror to myself and everybody else and say, well, let's talk about yours before we go chasing theirs. What sin are you continuing in? And your excuse is, well, you know, there's grace. It's amazing grace. Amazing. I can do whatever I want to and God's going to take me back. Except for this sound, and I'm for people listening on the radio. In my house, it went like this. The belt came out, and this. Did you hear that? And the faster it comes out, the more it popped. You say, well, you're telling me God's going to wrap that belt around his fist and whip my backside? You know, there ain't no CPS going to stop this God. You say, well, I don't believe in corporal punishment. Maybe you believe in corporate punishment then. Because the book says, if he loves you, he disciplines you. So if you never feel the belt of God on your backside, you might be checking out whether you're even in this family to begin with. Because he disciplines those that he loves. So if you're thinking, I'm just going to sin the more that grace may abound, I'm not talking about deciding to continue in sin and just live a life of sin. I'm talking about being on the battlefield, and the reality is you're going to be tempted. You're going to get hit. I get clobbered. When I get clobbered, you know, there's a guy sitting in this room I meet with every Friday in my life, and I try to tell him what's going on, and I hate doing it. I don't want anybody to know my junk. I don't even want God knowing what it is. I don't even tell my wife the stuff that I tell. You say, well, that's not right. It's beneficial to her, trust me. If you guys are telling your wife everything you're thinking, you are nuts. And I say, I don't want to go out this way. I don't want to go down this way. And I'm getting hit. I'm having struggles. I'm having temptations. And we sit there and we challenge one another and we get back up and we keep going. And what got me in that relationship is our fear of going down and realizing we can't do it by ourselves. Now, I'm not encouraging you if you got some sin to keep sinning, but I am telling you this, part of the process is that you're going to get hit and you're not always going to choose God in every situation. And you can't quit just because that happens. You say, okay, I've proven that I'm a sinner. I do need God's grace. Now, what steps am I going to take when I get shot at the next time? That do I have my armor on? Do I have my helmet on? Do I have my Kevlar stuff? You know, have you got every protection you can have? Other soldiers with you? Put everything around you can to protect you, or are you just out there in your boxers on the battlefield? Romans chapter 12, go a few more chapters over. There's one word I'm going to point out here, maybe two words. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word for transform here is metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is not an event. It is a process. We are so stinking addicted to events. We want something to happen. I want it now. Save me, Jesus, now. Fix it now. I don't want to learn anything. I want you to just load it in my hard drive. I got it, and I don't have to work or struggle or anything. It doesn't work that way. And everybody's heard the butterfly story. Some little kid, a butterfly is trying to come out of a cocoon, out of a little deal, and a kid feels, see him struggling. They go rip the thing open, and when they rip it open and let the butterfly out, the butterfly dies, it can't fly because it has to have the struggle getting out of the cocoon. That's part of what develops it at that moment to be able to fly. So this transformation process, you are a work in progress. You're a piece of work in progress is what you feel like. I almost feel better sitting in a room with a bunch of guys and everybody being honest. You know, we were in a gathering the other day, and this is public knowledge, and I'm going to say who or what, just about 30 guys in a room, and one guy raised his hand and said, well, I quit smoking pot, you know, recently. Well, I didn't know the guy was smoking pot in the first place. And I kind of went, wow, that's amazing. What was amazing? Not that he was smoking pot, but he actually said out loud that he quit and felt comfortable enough in a room to go, hey, here's where I am. It's getting better. I was over here a few months ago, and now I'm right here, and I'm moving. I don't care how screwed up you are. What scares me to death is if we're stuck. I'll take your crap every day, make appointments all week long. I'll sit and listen to what you're struggling with as long as you're still struggling. It's when you go, well, guess what? I picked my sin, and we're camping right here till Jesus comes. Now you got a problem. So as long as we're telling our stuff and sharing our stuff and keeping it real and you see progress, that's okay. Christianity is not about stopping. It's about transforming and moving. George Bernard Shaw said, progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm just showing you these words to show you that it is a process. It's about making progress. Verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, by the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that what? Your progress may be evident to all, so that people watching your life don't say, man, he's made it. He's arrived. There is no such thing in the Christian life as arriving unless you're looking at Jesus. If you're staring at Jesus and you're dead or he's come back, you have arrived. Until then, you have not arrived. You are in process. You are growing. You're maturing, but it's not over till you're looking at Jesus. And this word here he uses in this verse 15, the word for progress, it means progress, advancement in the Greek, but it comes from a word, and listen to this, and this is why you have got to start studying. I am not going to feed your little mouth till the day you die. You cannot come up in here and get spoon-fed till Jesus comes. Go home and read your own Bible. Get you some materials. I can do it. You can do it. Go online. If you got a computer, you can study till you can't stand it anymore. Come in here, let me spoon feed you something. If I can find it, you can find it. And if you want to grow, you're going to have to go digging for yourself. Now you say, well, I don't know how. Then let someone teach you. Then if you don't, now you're not ignorant anymore. You're stupid. Ignorant is I don't know. Somebody teaches you how to do it, and then you don't do it. Now it's stupidity. The word progress here, or advancement, comes from this word. Now listen to this. To beat forward. To lengthen out by hammering as a smith forges metals. To beat forward. You've got a piece of metal. You heat the thing up. You hit it on the anvil with a hammer, and it moves it. It stretches it. And what he's saying here, live this kind of life. Give yourself entirely this, that your progress, that people watch you as a piece of metal get moved apart, get beat forward, and that God is at work in your life and he's molding you, shaping you into something. You say, well, I don't want to get hit on some anvil. Y'all talk about these violent things. And I don't like it that God sends this stuff in my life. You can't mold metal. You can't mold hard things without some pressure, without some heat, without some pain sometimes. I got more verses, but you can find them yourself. The point is this, what frustrates me to no end is I want to arrive. I don't like this anymore. I'm tired of sinning. I'm tired of trying to justify and rationalize in my head. Okay, I say this and I really believe all this. And then in a millisecond, I'll think this, do this, say this. I'm like, well, that's not possible. How can I claim all of this and go do that? Now, I don't mind going first, but you better start going too. And we better start talking about our stuff, and we better start watching each other. Galatians 6, verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, one of your others, you who are spiritual, if you're so all that, then you ought to have some kind of discernment to be scouring the horizon and look at me or someone else in the eyes and go, you know what? How you doing? How you doing? You know, and then ask it again. And say, you know what? You're telling me everything's okay. I love you enough. I'm not buying it. And if you can convince me otherwise, we'll sit and talk a minute. And if your eyes don't lie to me more than 5 minutes, I'll let you alone. But I'm telling you, my spirit's checking your spirit, and I'm not judging you. I just care enough to ask a few more times to see what's going on, because I want you to be okay, because I know what it's like to not be okay and have to act like I am. Okay? It's okay to get hit and to go down because you're a work in progress. But make sure there is progress and you don't land on your butt and stay there. There's grace for that, but don't be using it up, because it was grace that was bought by precious drops of blood belonging to a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, and they're not to be trifled with.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, RichardEllis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, RichardEllis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I thank you for the process, and that we are all a piece of work in progress, in process. And I pray for people, especially, Lord, who are perfectionists, who are just beating themselves over the head. And if they do one thing wrong, they go, well, I'm not even in the family. I'm out. There must be something wrong with me. Father, until we get home, till we hit that finish line, there is going to be a struggle. Paul himself, who seemed like one of the big dogs in this thing, at the end of his life, praying, the thing I don't want to do, I do. The thing I do that I don't want to do, who delivered me from the body of this death? And Jesus was the answer. So, Father, if he struggled, I struggle, we struggle, help us to do it together, to keep it real, and to keep moving forward on this battlefield. And as the scripture says, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. And I pray that we individually would not try to march on those gates alone anymore, but we as an army, we as a band of soldiers, men and women, young people, boys and girls, would point this thing toward the gates of hell to bring out some prisoners of war that are already in the family, but also, Lord, to rescue some people who will be lost forever if we don't mobilize. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you understand that we are clay pots, but also we thank you, Lord, for putting such great treasure in us. And may we be dispensers of that treasure this day. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.